Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have all crazy martinis today. What am I talking about? Good, bad, and crazy. Three crazy martinis to lead off the shortened week with. Jim, are you ready for something like this?
Look, I'm not doing too bad because it's a short week, and it's almost Friday, right, Greg?
It's a day closer than when we usually start the week. I'll say that much. All right, so let's get to, first of all, the fact that we're sponsored by Quip today. Quip toothbrushes, they start at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/martini right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with that Quip electric toothbrush. Getquip.com/martini. More on that a little bit later in the podcast. Jim, yesterday, of course, was Memorial Day. It is perhaps the most solemn American holiday. I would, in fact, say it is the most solemn American holiday. We honor those who have given their lives in service to our country. There are services, there are parades, there are cemetery observances, and the president obviously takes part in that whenever he's in town. He did yesterday. But before heading to Arlington National Cemetery and giving a speech that, as far as I know, went fine, he tweeted this out at about 8 a.m. Happy Memorial Day! Those who died for our great country would be very happy and proud at how well our country is doing today. Best economy in decades, lowest unemployment numbers for blacks and Hispanics ever, and women in 18 years, rebuilding our military, and so much more. Nice. Now, Jim, I'm sure many of those who fought for our country and gave their lives would like things to be going well in this country, but the day is about them, their service, their sacrifice. And somehow this president made it about himself.
Yeah. And, you know, I recall during the Obama years on, you know, the president's and White House social media accounts, there'd be a little bit of grumbling on the right that, you know, President Obama would showcase a picture of himself at Arlington National Cemetery or something like that. And the argument was, oh, can't this guy not make everything about himself? Can't he not put himself in the picture or in the statements? It's me, 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 I. And at times the criticism could be a little overblown, but I think it's always, you know, good to, you know, to remember, particularly an event like Memorial Day, but even, you know, a lot of the Veterans Day, all these sorts of holidays, it's not supposed to be about you. The presidency gives you plenty of moments to be celebrated, to pat yourself on the back, to talk about what a great job you're doing. Just leave it out of the holiday messages and things like that. Sort of a sense of, you know, Merry Christmas, everyone. Christ would be pleased with the job I'm doing as president. You know, just try to avoid that vibe. And unfortunately, Trump couldn't do it. And it, you know, rubbed a bunch of people the wrong way. You can brag about that. Just put that in a separate tweet. Why not just, you know, remember the fallen this morning? Look, there's a reason people go with safe, generic messages, because they're appropriate, right? Because you're never going to rub someone the wrong way. You're never going to offend someone. It's not going to look self-aggrandizing or self-celebrating or something like that. Just again, it's Memorial Day. Just put out the basic Memorial Day message. Nothing will go wrong with that. But instead, the president's got to trust his gut, and this is where we end up.
Another crazy story that developed over the weekend, Jim, was the number of Democrats, liberals, and even some anti-Trump folks on the right who found these pictures of illegal immigrant children being held at detention centers and essentially sleeping on mats on a concrete floor inside cages. And the outrage went absolutely viral. You had folks like Antonio Villaraigosa, the former mayor of L.A., and I think he has aspirations for higher office now, saying, speechless, this is not who we are as a nation. People going on and on about how this is internment camps and this is just the heartlessness of President Trump. And then a few people pointed out that the story was from 2014. And all of a sudden, all these stories got deleted. Jim, obviously, conditions at these facilities could still be alarming. We don't know. But the fact that people immediately stopped caring as soon as they saw the timestamp on it tells you a lot about our media and beyond.
It was a classic Emily Latella moment of the, you know, batty old lady from Saturday Night Live who kept mishearing things, played by the late, great Gilda Radner. She would get really upset about people who are complaining about violins on TV. She thought violins made lovely music. Why were people objecting to this? Have we become such a society that we don't like having violins? And, you know, of course, Chevy Chase had to lean over and say, Miss Latella, the debate was over violence on television, not violins on television. Edge. Oh, never mind. That was kind of the reaction to this. As soon as, oh, this was during the Obama administration. Never mind. It's Tool. It's fine. We have to relax. Don't worry about it. Everything's hunky-dory. Nothing to see here. Move along. Move along. My guess is most of our listeners, a fairly right of center group, probably remember the tidal wave of children coming across the border in the summer of 2014 pretty darn well. I would argue this was a fairly significant factor in the 2014 midterm elections. You know, this came out of 2012. President Obama is running for re-election after insisting he couldn't change the immigration law. All of a sudden says, wait a second, I've decided that immigrants who have entered the country illegally as minors before June 2007 could apply for deportation deferrals. Now, we can argue about that policy. I think it's somewhat reasonable. You're coming over the border as a kid. You're not really in control of your actions. It's your parents who are doing it. Fine. But one of the other things that we've always believed, or at least a lot of people on the right have always believed, that amnesty is one of those ideas that just by talking about it, you end up having side effects. And perhaps those side effects are unexpected, or most of us would argue they're fairly predictable. If you talk about an amnesty, lots of people want to rush across the border because they want to make sure they get in to take advantage of the amnesty. So just the discussion of the amnesty worsens the illegal immigration problem because you've now created this added incentive for people to take the risk of trying to come across the border. So somewhere between 2012 and 2014, word spreads in a lot of these Central American countries and communities that there's permisos, that the United States is giving permisos to children, not to adults, but to children who go across the border. And somehow along the line, this turns into send your kids across the border unattended. If you're with parents, they'll make you all go back. But if you send them alone, they'll be there and they'll be allowed to grow up in America. And this is obviously a twisting of what the Obama administration had actually done. But, you know, in a situation like this, my suspicion is that the Garrity administration or the Corumbus administration might have immediately put an end to the Dreamer program or the idea of saying, okay, well, we're not going to enforce that law. But the second thing is we would get on the television and just start screaming at the top of our lungs, stop sending your unattended children across the border. And we'd be saying in both English and Spanish, and we'd be flooding the airwaves down in those countries to say, look, what you're hearing is a false rumor. We're not giving permisos to children. We don't want to see lots and lots of kids trying to walk their way through the desert or rough terrain or end up in the hands of people smugglers and people who are going to abuse them and hurt them like that. This is not a good thing to do for your children. This is not how you achieve the American dream. And yes, Central America, we are not running a daycare center. You cannot send them here. The Obama administration never quite did that. I believe they put out one public service announcement that, Greg, if I recall correctly, really was the most gentle, soft-spoken, there are no permisos, you know. And it really seemed to be inappropriate to the challenge of the moment. Now, gradually, the rumors died down. The children were collected. Now, obviously, those kids end up being sent all across the country. As soon as they, you know, were rounded up and they figured out their identity, Immigration and Border Patrol did their best to match them with anybody they knew who could be a caretaker here in the United States. If I remember correctly, Fairfax County, where I'm speaking to you from, you got a whole bunch of these kids. Now, again, we want these kids to end up in a situation where they're going to be cared for. We want these kids to end up in a situation where they're not going to be abused, exploited, hurt. But on the other hand, we also don't want these other countries to say, okay, let's send the kids over. This is a way to work around American immigration laws. Anyway, this was a big deal in our world, Greg. Like, this was a huge controversy in the summer of 2014. And the fact that so many people on the left and in the media, some would argue I'm repeating myself, could see images from this, not recognize the images from this, and react the way they did is extraordinarily revealing. I think that the border children crisis, however you want to characterize that, of 2014, did not permeate their news bubble in 2014. Or if it did, it was very quickly forgotten about. And from that, it's very clear they did not learn any of the lessons of that, which is you want to be very careful about any policy you enact that even sounds like an amnesty. Because if you're not careful, the rumor mill is going to take it to those countries and they're going to make it sound like, oh, give all your money to people smugglers. We'll get your kids there just fine, and bad things will flow out of that.
Very, very bad things will flow out of that. And Jim, it's amazing the Obama administration didn't have a clear response to that, given the fact that they never had a scandal in 8 years.
Yeah, it's funny. For a guy who kept saying, let me be clear, their denunciation of sending your children across the border was never all that clear.
Well, we can make something perfectly clear, Jim. The truth is, even if the Obama administration didn't speak it very often, the truth is that most of us are brushing our teeth wrong. Did you know that? We're not brushing our teeth correctly. We're not doing it for long enough. And we forget to change our brush on time. And that's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing. But not Quip. So, what makes Quip so different?
Quip is the best toothbrush I have ever had. I use it multiple times a day, and I've never liked one more than this. Quip is an electric toothbrush that is a fraction of the cost of the bulkier brushes, and it still packs just the right amount of vibrations to help clean your teeth. Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist-recommended 2 minutes with guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. Then Quip's subscription plans are for your health, not just convenience. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. Quip also comes with a mount that suctions right onto your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth.
And hopefully you're taking them with you whenever you travel. And finally, everyone loves Quip. They were on Oprah's O-List. They were named one of Time's best inventions. And it's the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Plus, they're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers using Quip every single day. Right now, Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/martini right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/martini. One more time, getquip.com/martini. All right, Jim, on to our third and final crazy martini for this Tuesday. Next Tuesday is primary day in the state of California. Should have some very interesting results in some of those primaries, given the jungle system there. But California's got a different problem in the days leading up to that. Los Angeles Times. California's elections officials have found themselves with an unexpected headache ahead of the June 5th primary. Potentially thousands of cases where two voter registration forms were created for one person. Errors caused by the state's Motor Voter program that launched last month. But local and state officials said Wednesday they don't believe the foul-up has resulted in actual mistakes in California's voter database. The errors are being resolved one at a time in each county's elections office, a lengthy process that coincides with one of the busiest periods of the year. According to Cami Foote, Registrar of Voters in Inyo County, California, quote, "We don't have the time to be researching this, but we have to, because we're being thrown into it." Jim, you have to love that state officials don't believe there's going to be actual mistakes when we're looking at about 77,000 registrations here.
Downstairs in the cellar, Greg, I've left oily rags, some gasoline, big piles of old newspapers, and all kinds of flammable objects right next to the stove, the heater, an electrical box that keeps sparking. But I don't foresee any problems with that. There have been any problems so far, and I'm sure it'll be fine in the future. Greg, have I told you about my trip to the Department of Motor Vehicles recently?
Yes.
Okay. So it seems very applicable because I was there to renew my driver's license. I'm in the state of Virginia, not California. First thing you notice, obviously, yes, the line is long. I'm going around the middle of the day. I should have known better. Of course, there is no good time of day to visit the Department of Motor Vehicles. And I'm there for the most basic task imaginable. I have a driver's license. The state has all of my information. None of my information has changed. I just need to turn in the old one and get a new one. You're going in line number one. The guy behind me has no documentation, Greg. He has none of the right forms, no existing picture ID. My best guess was that he was a time traveler, Greg, who had not been born yet, who had his fingerprints would not be in the system. There were no records of his existence. He's not going to be born for hundreds of years, yet he still needs a driver's license, and thus that's going to be – he's in the same line with me. There is no simple case, complicated case line whatsoever at the DMV. No, you're all in the same puddle. And, of course, the people in front of me have very complicated cases as well. But as I'm looking at the forms, there's a box that says, would you like to check here to be registered to vote at your current address? Now, I'm already registered to vote at this address, but I'm sitting there thinking, what would happen if I checked that box? Would the organizers, the voter rolls, would they recognize, oh, this person's already registered to vote, thus we don't need to create a new form or file for this one? Or would some places give the person, oh, put the data in a second time, and then you'd be registered to vote twice? Two people, same names, same address. I'd like to think they'd sort that out, but I don't quite get that. This doesn't seem that complicated, Greg. You'd think you'd be one list of people. And if you have, two people, same names, same addresses, well, you wouldn't send out two forms. You'd send out one form because you'd say, it's a duplicate. You think there'd be something in the system to sort out these situations. I clearly from California, we can't be certain. I chose not to test it in Virginia. I don't want to create trouble. The last thing I want to be is, national review writer registered to vote twice. I can only imagine, how that would shake out. It is worth noting, by the way, after my conclusion that the people in front of me had so little documentation and their circumstances were so complicated that were, you know, taking such a long time to discuss with the woman at the booth, that clearly they had to be time travelers. Ah, ha, ha. He writes on Twitter, ha, 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 Jim's so funny. I am not making this up, Greg, when somebody turned to me and said, what's today's date? Oh, it's May such and such. What year is it? And I clearly realized that it must be John Connor who's come back, because that's the only way. Like, it's not what fiscal year. There are a lot of circumstances I can be clear of. Wait, what day is it? You know, I joke about it's got to be Friday. I get all this. Greg, have you ever forgotten what year it is?
No. Maybe when you're writing your checks in early January, but that's about it.
Right. Yeah, I can do writing the old date out of habit or something like that. I get the wait, what year is it? Indicates you've not come in contact with, you totally missed New Year's. Like that has totally escaped your attention. All the, you know, all the New Year's Day sale, like you just, nothing happened. And again, it's May in the past 5 to 6 months to suggest to you that there's been a change. That no signs, no dates, no scrolling ticker screens, nothing on television, nothing you've heard on the radio, nothing is suggested to you that it's the year 2018. And I posted about this and everyone said, oh my God, I envy this man. To be living a life where you're so oblivious to everything. You don't even know what year it is, so you can't be hearing about all the problems of the world.
There's a little appeal in that some days, Jim, but I think having a clue generally helps on a daily basis.
The other possibility is that he just couldn't remember what year he got online at the Department of Motor Vehicles. And it might have been, you know, 2015 when he got there, and he's only getting, you know, his number only got called 3 years later.
Yeah, it's hard to believe the bureaucratic wizards there might screw up the voter rolls. Really hard to believe. Anyway,
the very best of hands, Greg.
Yes.
Yeah, happy Friday, everybody.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Do not forget to head over to getquip.com/martini. Right now, get that Quip toothbrush for starting at just $25. Get your first refill pack on the brushes free. Getquip.com/martini. And tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.